Welcome back into Sports Talk. Been talking a whole lot of Saints. We'll delve into some more black and gold. Inside black and gold, whatever you would say, with my partner, Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, also WWL digital content producer. How's it going, Jeff? I know you spent the day out at Saints camp.
It's going. A little weird today with the late schedule.
For sure.
I don't think we've had many 5 p.m. Dennis Allen press conferences. But, you know, I'm catching up. It's nice to have the cut down day behind us. It kind of feels like we can start gearing up toward regular season. Until we get past that point, it still kind of feels like a holding pattern. But I feel like we're moving. We're getting ready.
Was there a reason for the later start today? Was it just because of all the roster moves still ongoing after the initial 53?
I just think there was a lot to get handled with all the practice squad signings.
Right.
And they probably just wanted to make sure they got it all sorted out before. In case, you know, because they wanted those practice squad guys out there, right? So I didn't really think that was it. It's an early schedule tomorrow, so I think you're going to be back toward the normal. They're going to have Friday, Saturday, Sunday off, and then you're going to get into a normal game week schedule next week.
With the additions now of John Ridgeway in the trade, the defensive tackle, and also picking up on waivers, Kenny Wangwu. Do they have to make now some corresponding moves on their roster, or have they done that already? I wasn't sure.
Good job with Nwangwu. I've been trying to figure that one out all day. It's a tough one. Kane Nwangwu.
Yes.
But they made one corresponding move, and it was for Kane. They haven't officially announced the Ridgeway trade yet.
Okay.
And I think it probably partially because they still have to figure out what that corresponding move is. But they did waive or terminate the contract of Kendall Vickers. He made the 53. They signed him to the practice squad. So that is one of them. They will have to make another one. They could do that either through a cut, or I think there's a possibility you revert. Maybe a guy like Jalen Ford would be a good option to consider for IR. Colin Saunders is hurt. He could be an IR candidate. Nick Saldivari sounds like they're hopeful to get him back, before, you know, pretty early in the season. So, yeah, they're going to have to make at least one move. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's more signings, more moves to come, especially at offensive line. But we'll have to kind of wait and see on that.
You mentioned IR there, and holy cow, there was a sighting I've heard at practice today that running back Kendra Miller was in the house.
Yeah, he was there, not, you know, fully
right, not
working.
Doing anything,
he was off to
but
the
at least
side.
He was visible.
Yeah, we're in that point where we don't know exactly what they're doing in practice, right? We're into regular season mode, so we're only getting the 30-minute viewing window, and they're not really doing a ton during that period. But there were some notable returns today, right? You got Marshawn Lattimore back to practice. You got Rashid Shaheed back to practice. You got Kool-Aid McKinstry back. Dennis Allen said Marshawn would have been limited. They don't have to actually give practice participation updates like they will next week ahead of the regular season when the first injury report comes out. That'll be Wednesday. But if they had to today, he would have been termed as limited. So that's obviously a great sign to have him back. I don't think he's practiced since July 26th, so he missed a full month with that hip flexor issue. But that's a good sign that he's going to be ready to go for week one. And Rashid also said, I talked to him in the locker room today, he said that he's feeling 100%. The toe issue is behind him, so that's good too, because he's missed a lot of time as well, and it's a new offense. So I do think there's a little bit of pressure to make sure he's up to speed on everything he needs to be doing with week one, the first game, less than 2 weeks away.
I know you sent some audio of Shaheed from the locker room today. We're going to get into that when you get out of here. But anything that was a standout from what you heard from the wide receiver in the locker room today?
Yeah, I mean, I think that he's a confident guy. I did ask Dennis Allen, you know, whether his kind of further incorporation into the main offense, right, the actual scheme, it makes it a little difficult to overload him in the return game. He said they haven't really looked at that yet. I have to imagine it will. I have to imagine you're going to try to take some of that load off of him, and I think that's part of the reason you brought in Kenne in the first place, right, because he's another all-pro return guy. So we'll have to kind of watch and see how that all plays out. But, you know, one thing that Rashid mentioned and you know, Derek's mentioned this, a lot of the offensive players they're kind of making a really kind of notable push to get everyone, you know, feeling connected, right? That's part of the reason you went out to Irvine in the first place, to get everyone kind of in a location, make sure you know, there's more bonding that can occur than what we've seen in the past. You know, they always do these kind of group outings. Rashid said this year what the group outing was go-karting. They did like outdoor go-karting. And apparently Derek Carr is unsurprisingly very good at that. Does seem like something he'd be good at. But they've also been doing like offensive team dinners, right? I think they had one last night at Derek Carr. I believe it was at Derek Carr's house, and everyone kind of got there. And it's just, I think there's just a good vibe in that offensive room right now. And that's a good sign. One other thing that I asked him about, and this is something I've said a few times, is that, you know, this Clint Kubiak offense, everyone wants to look at the 49ers and what the 49ers have been doing and their skill players and how they've worked their wide receiver room. To me, a much better example of what you can do on offense if you're the Saints with this particular group of wide receivers is go look at Miami and look what they've done with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. And last year, Cedric Wilson was there. And this year, Cedric Wilson is with the Saints. And I asked Rashid today whether, you know, Cedric had kind of talked to them about, hey, this is what they did with these two guys in Miami. And he said, absolutely. That's something that he's brought up several times. And he's compared Rashid and Chris to Tyreek and Jalen. We asked, you know, which one are you? And Rashid says he's Tyreek, right? But I do think that that's a kind of a scheme and a system and a complementary group of wide receivers that you can look at and say the Saints' current group of wide receivers should be able to do a lot of the same things. And it's going to be on Derek to get them the ball in the same ways. And I just thought that was interesting because you do have that guy in Cedric who would understand what that looks like. So I was glad to hear that I'm not, you know, imagining that this is, they feel the same way. This group should be able to do a lot of the same things that they do it over in Miami.
Jeff, looking at also the other players that made it, we also saw that, you know, Cooley McKinstry was back at today. We mentioned Lattimore and Shaheed, but Mason Tipton returned. I know you didn't get to see the full practice, but out there with him, did you see anything that could give you a timeline on his return? I've never been higher on him other than when we first heard about him, but hearing that he made a roster, I really, really, really want to see what he's got going on. And he's seeing back out there. I want to know when we'll see him on that field.
It's tough to say. I mean, he was back at practice late last week. He still didn't play in the preseason finale. I think it was probably a situation where if he was concerned about his roster spot, that he might have tried to push through it. I think that's probably what happened. And, you know, so we'll see. I don't think they're going to force anything with him. He's a UDFA going into his rookie season, right? So you're going to try to see what you have with him and maybe he's a guy that you incorporate in the return game at some point. I would be surprised if he has a big role early in the season. I wouldn't be surprised if he's inactive week one as you kind of figure out, okay, you can only have 48 active players on game day. You might want to call up a guy or two based on availability with some of these injuries you're looking at. But I think that he's a guy that provides you really quality depth for Chris Olave, for Rashid Shaheed. I think he can do similar things to those guys, and I think that's probably going to be what you look for in his rookie season. It's okay if you do have to go into games without Chris, without Rashid, he'll be able to fill in. So to me, what I want to see from him, and we're not going to see it in practice, we really don't see much, you see stretching, you see walkthrough, but what I want him to be able to do is to really kind of mimic what those guys are doing in practice and kind of work behind them, shadow them, so that if he does have to get into the action, he's not doesn't look lost out there. But we'll see. I think His athleticism is clear, you know, he's a dynamic guy, but I do think he's pretty close to a full go. He talked in the locker room as well, and so we'll see.
Yeah, I just want you to expand more with Tipton, just because I can't recall a guy missing all three preseason games as an undrafted rookie and still making, not the practice squad, the 53.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people want to compare it to Rashid, right? And it's really not that good of a comparison because Rashid got cut. Rashid had to work his way off the practice squad. He didn't participate in any of the preseason games. And, you know, I think that if they felt like they could have snuck him onto the practice squad, I think they probably would have. But I have a feeling that they felt like, hey, if we expose this guy to waivers, he probably gets claimed. And so we'll see how it goes. You know, they kept six wide receivers. It's going to be tough to have six wide receivers active on game day. I don't even think it would be prudent when you consider, you know, you got to have guys on special teams, right? And I don't think your wide receivers are the primary person you would look at to go down and make a tackle on special teams, right? If you need an extra returner, that's one thing, but you brought in Kane, and I think his skill set would make more sense there next to Rashid when you're returning kicks. So we'll see. Again, I think he's the guy that they're high on, clearly. Otherwise, you would have cut him and said, hey, we didn't see enough. They clearly saw what they needed to see in the first couple weeks of camp practice. So, you know, hopefully he's the guy that can make an impact this year.
Looking at your rundown on WWL.com of all the practice squad guys, was there any of the names that the Saints did add on there that were surprising to you? I really don't think that – I think everybody that is on the practice squad currently was pretty much expected to be brought back in some shape or way.
Yeah, well, so I do need to get some clarity on the international spot because they did only sign 16 players. I wonder if maybe there's a delay. You have to apply for that exemption on the practice squad, and maybe it just hasn't come through yet because they should be able to sign one more player because Charlie Smith is in that IPP exempt spot. So we'll see. That was a surprise to me. I expected to see a 17th guy, and it might just be a timeline thing. We've never seen this happen with the Saints before, so I am admittedly unclear on exactly how the machinations of that all work. One of the guys I was surprised to see brought back, and not in a bad way, I just didn't expect it, was Mason Fairchild, the tight end. I thought, you know, if you go through the preseason, his game against the 49ers might have been the best tight end game in terms of a receiver that we saw. So, you know, he's a guy that, you know, anytime you can bring back a developmental guy in a thin position, I'm okay with it. Michael Jacobson as well. I wasn't sure if maybe they were going to move on from him, but I'm glad to see
him. That was a little surprise to me, too, with Jacobson.
Well, I don't think it's a surprise. It was just a question of, hey, is this a guy that you feel like, you know, can continue to develop? He's a former basketball player. He was playing professionally in Ukraine like 3 years ago. So it's not exactly a scenario where you feel like you've seen everything you're going to see from him. Nico Lalos is a guy that is just always on the practice squad, so it makes sense that he's back on the practice squad. And the only one I was surprised to not see was Samson Nakua.
Yes.
I know he's got a few fans out there already. So we'll see. Maybe he's a guy that you can bring back as these things expand. We didn't see the Saints sign anyone to the practice squad who was not on their 90-man roster, which is interesting. A lot of times you'll see them kind of go outside their bubble. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's maybe something we see over the next few days is you shuffle a bit and maybe bring in some guys that you've been scouting, that you've been looking at, like a Jack Ridgeway or John Ridgeway, rather. I mix him up with Jack Heflin because they remind me of each other. You know, I think he's a guy that could end up on the practice squad, and you just wanted to get him in the building, and you were able to do that by swapping late-round picks. I think they sent their 2025 seventh-rounder to the Commanders in exchange for the Commanders' 2025 sixth-rounder, or vice versa, actually. The Saints got the seventh-rounder, and they sent out the sixth-rounder. So it really wasn't much of an investment at all. But no, I think the practice squad kind of went how I expected it to.
Jeff, another thing that we've been talking about at length today is mainly, you know, something we were going to focus on throughout the day and probably throughout, you know, the rest of the month leading into September as well, probably the rest of September. But on the text line as well, we've been asked constantly about this O-line. I mean, you know, the Saints, you know, it's day two of this roster roulette, I call it, and we haven't seen any O-line changes. Do you think that's because they just haven't found, you know, someone to their liking? Do you think they're waiting to see if more people, you know, enter the market, so to speak? Is there something they're looking for specifically?
It's tough to say. I think right now they might be comfortable just going at it, looking at, hey, we have the numbers that we want split between the practice squad and the active roster. They were able to get Kyle Hergel onto the practice squad. They were able to get Shane Lemieux onto the practice squad. I think those are two guys that, you know, you probably look at one and say that you can elevate these guys. Again, you can revert some guys to IR and maybe free up a spot. But if there was what we don't know on the waiver wire is if they put claims in on anyone and just didn't get them. Like, we only know the claims that they went through. But, you know, if there were other teams that put claims on them that had a higher priority, I think the Panthers claimed like five players, right? So we'll see. I do expect them to make at least one addition, not on the starting line, more on the depth line. I don't know if you have backup at both guard spots that you necessarily want. I do think you feel like you have backups at left tackle and right tackle. So we'll see how that goes. I'm not sure who the backup center is, if I'm being honest, because I don't think it could be Shane Lemieux based on what we saw against the 49ers. And I don't think you want it to be Cesar Ruiz, because I think they're tired of that experiment of having to have him move over every time Eric McCoy misses a game. So I think that's probably what you're looking at, is they might try to find a versatile interior line depth guy. But we'll just have to see. It's really hard because everyone has different grades on different players. There's only so much tape available on certain guys. You're looking at preseason tape. You're looking back to college tape. John Ridgeway is a guy that I think they probably got a good look at in the Senior Bowl in 2022, and that's what kind of – when you what have you a know, strong scouting report on a guy, you feel good about it. And, yeah, the Senior Bowl is a familiar stomping ground for the Saints. So yeah. We'll see. Again, to answer your question, it's tough to say right now, but I do feel like you're going to see at least one more piece added in the offensive line.
Jeff, thanks for giving us a couple minutes today. You can check out our Saints sideline reporter's work on WWL.com. Get caught up with everything on the Black and Gold. Speaking of Black and Gold, talk to you tomorrow morning when we record our Inside Black and Gold podcast. See you later, man.
Yes, sir. Bright and early.
You know it. Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter and WWL digital content producer. You can also follow him on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, @Jeff_Nowak. That's Nowak.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.